Chapter 44. Matt didn't put the mask on again for over a year. Foggy waited for it, accepted it, and was prepared to love and support him through it all. And then nothing. No split knuckles, no late nights, no anything. The visits to Father Lantum dropped off, too, until Matt was attending Mass once a week, like a regular parishioner and not like someone at the crossroads of a dangerous decision. Foggy was able to get through 2 semesters, graduation, the New York bar exam, and 9 months of a 2-year internship without Matt dealing out any kind of rough justice. When asked about it, Matt always said that he needed to be sure. He needed time and distance from the trauma Stick and Elektra had inflicted on him. So Foggy waited, and the only thing that happened was that he developed a dread and a hatred of his new boss. Landman was rich, successful, well-connected, and a total ableist who seemed to have hired Matt as a poster boy for the disabled, rather than an attorney, simply to prove that his firm was an equal opportunity employer. Foggy knew from the very first day and every day for the 9 months that followed that equal opportunity didn't exist for Matt inside the walls of Landman and Zach. Zach was too busy and too self-important to notice him. But Landman? The man went out of his way, and it was a daily struggle for Foggy to keep from accidentally punching him like he had Jerry McLeod. Landman saw the cane and nothing else and treated Matt like he was useless because of it. He refused to believe that Matt could use a computer with the necessary programs to make it accessible for him, and instead assigned him a personal assistant, whose job it was to do everything for Matt, from reading research to him, to clearing paths to elevators, making sure that Matt never had to use the stairs, because he couldn't, right? Matt resisted at first, but after the first couple of months, he seemed to accept it as something that wasn't going to change, and he allowed it. He allowed Landman and his lackey to treat him like he couldn't do anything on his own. Landman wouldn't even trust Matt to find the coffee cart or a restroom on his own. Foggy could see Matt's growing frustration with the daily impediment to his independence, and he guessed that he and Matt weren't going to survive the required 2 years here. Landman constantly treated Matt like he was invisible or stupid, this behavior from their boss encouraging everyone else to treat Matt the same way. Foggy intervened when he could, but he couldn't be at Matt's side very often during the day when Landman had him running errands or standing by the printer. The number of times he'd seen Matt flinch when people grabbed his arm and dragged him down a corridor or across a conference room numbered in the dozens. But Matt bore it all well. He never snapped at anyone or lost his temper, and Foggy couldn't afford to either. He and Matt needed 2 incomes to afford the tiny apartment they were renting on the outskirts of Hell's Kitchen. Foggy knew they'd have to move when their lease ran out. Matt hardly slept because the neighborhood was never quiet. But then, slowly, very slowly, Matt started to crack. He was distracted at work and distant with Foggy. It didn't take him long to realize that something was wrong. More wrong than the usual struggle that came with having an asshole for a boss. Matt wasn't sleeping, and he was never hungry when Foggy cooked, or even when he ordered takeout, which was more often than he wanted to admit to his mother. Then came the night when Matt wouldn't come to bed. He usually did, even if he laid awake all night. This time, he was sitting by the living room window, looking pale, nauseous, and shaky. When Foggy asked if he was all right, Matt seemed not to hear him, and when Foggy put a hand on his shoulder, Matt jumped like he'd been electrocuted and then tried to pass Foggy the screwdriver that he'd left on the coffee table after tightening the screws in the slightly wobbly kitchen cabinet. Foggy took the screwdriver and set it down, then sat beside Matt, deciding that it was definitely time to talk. "Matt," he murmured, taking his hand. "Sorry," Matt muttered distractedly. "I can hear something." "Well, that's specific," Foggy said sarcastically, shaking his head at him. "You don't want to know, Foggy," Matt said grimly. He did want to know, actually. He wanted to know a couple of things, namely if Matt was okay, he wasn't, and if he could convince him to take a few days off work and rest, He couldn't. Foggy knew Matt well by now. His boyfriend was tired and tense, and for once, it had nothing to do with work and everything to do with the open window. "How bad is it?" Foggy asked, but Matt just sighed. "Molesting your own child bad," Matt replied, and Foggy grimaced, feeling as sick as Matt looked. "God, I'll call social services," he immediately volunteered, fishing his phone out of his pocket. "I already tried last week," Matt admitted, before Foggy could dial a single digit. "What he did, the father, he didn't leave a mark, and the little girl, her mom doesn't believe her. Nobody does." Foggy closed his eyes and sighed, letting his phone fall into the gap between the couch cushions as he processed the reason for Matt's insomnia and lack of focus. He felt sick at the thought of it, and he instinctively shifted closer to Matt, needing some measure of comfort. "What are you going to do?" Foggy asked, looking up just in time to catch the incredulous expression that flashed across Matt's face. "Oh, don't make that face. We both know you're not just going to sit here, Matt. You're not sleeping. You haven't eaten a solid meal since Wednesday. This is eating you up inside. Do something." "Parents should protect their kids. They shouldn't leave them, and they should never hurt them," Matt said, so fiercely that Foggy actually smiled. "You're right," he said quietly. "So go, Matt." "Fog," Matt replied, shaking his head doubtfully. Foggy just looked at him for a long moment. It was the first time he'd realized Matt needed this. Not wanted it, needed it. He needed to put on that mask, pick up his batons, go out there, and make some kind of difference for people. The kind of difference he just wasn't able to make at Landman and Zach. It was a risk, but if Matt didn't try, he was going to self-destruct. Foggy could see the danger signs already. "If you don't do something now, it'll go on for a long time before anything changes, and you know it," Foggy insisted, sighing to himself. "It wouldn't be right to let an innocent person suffer when you can do something about it." "What?" "Nothing," Matt muttered, ducking his head, but not before Foggy saw the small smile that curved his lips. "It's just, why couldn't Father Lantum have put it that way years ago? It's so much clearer." "So are you going?" Foggy asked, despite knowing the answer. "Yeah," Matt said resolutely, getting to his feet. "I'm going to beat the shit out of that asshole and make sure he never touches her again. And then I'm going to come back here and get the best night's sleep I've had all week." Foggy smiled at that last addition. It was a high risk for such a small reward, a peaceful night's sleep. He found as he looked at Matt that he could do more than live with the decision Matt had been contemplating for a long time now. He saw quite clearly that Matt needed his support and encouragement to do this, but he would also need reminding from time to time that his mission wasn't vengeance or rough justice, it was helping people. Little girls who weren't safe in their own beds, for starters. "Just come back, and not under police escort," Foggy added, grimacing. "No police, I promise," Matt murmured, leaning down and brushing the sweetest and softest of kisses against Foggy's lips. "What was that for?" Foggy asked, blinking up at him in surprise. "Luck," Matt declared, and Foggy rolled his eyes at him. "You don't believe in luck, and you don't need it. Go on, get out of here," he said bossily, shoving Matt away from him. Matt went, obediently, and with a look of relief on his face that touched Foggy deeply. It wasn't more than 5 minutes before Matt emerged from the bedroom in black ninja garb, carrying a soft cloth mask that he handed to Foggy. He didn't miss the significance of that as he stood up and lowered the mask over Matt's eyes, securing it himself with a double knot at the back of his head, unable to resist hugging him and then letting him go, letting Matt be who he needed to be. Who a little girl in Hell's Kitchen needed him to be. He watched him leave through the living room window, dropping onto the ledge and springing onto a nearby fire escape, the dark shadow that was Matt disappearing into the night. Foggy shook his head and moved to the kitchen to make a calming cup of tea. Maybe Matt was taking a crazy risk, or maybe he was right and the system was broken. All he knew was that he loved him. He loved that crazy daredevil with all his heart. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author. I don't normally do Podfickers notes, but at the end of this nearly a year-long journey, it seems appropriate to do one here. Thank you, Marv, for all your support and enthusiasm as I tackled this project. This podfic is by far the longest thing I've ever recorded, and I wouldn't have been able to complete it had it not been for you. I can only hope I've done your fic justice.